Hi, I'm Sean Sutner, news and feature writer for Search Health IT.
And I'm Kristen Lee, news writer for Search Health IT.
Welcome back to another edition of the Hit Squad podcast series about all things health IT. This is our first Hit Squad podcast of the 2017 season. So, I think we're going to be talking this year about a range of topics, including the year-end video we did, which sort of encapsulated all of our Search Health IT staff favorite interviews of 2016. We're also going to be talking about some of the stories we worked on before and during the holiday break, and we're going to make a few predictions for 2017. So, Kristen, can you talk a little bit about that famous year-end video we did? The 8 minutes of pure entertainment and pleasure?
Yeah, well, I think my favorite part was when you showed your socks, just saying.
Thank you for saying so, and those were a great pair of socks. Nick Atkins gave them to me.
But yeah, I thought the video was great. It's kind of a new piece of content for us, having all three of us there, just kind of talking about our favorite interviews. Just for me personally, I talked about my interview with Eric Helscher, Vice President of Client Success at Epic Systems Corp, and then also about my interview with Keith Jennings, CIO at MGH. Those were two really exciting people to speak with. I mean, Eric Helscher, because he works for Epic and he's a VP. And
I think you did a great job actually explaining the intricacies of, in the video, of explaining what it's like to ask to talk with the vice president of Epic about interoperability.
Yeah.
So you put that in a good context, I thought.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask him, about Epic's reputation. So it was great to have that opportunity. Yeah. Well, what about you, Sean? What did you think of the video and everything?
Well, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I thought it was a fantastic visual of you two guys. As for me, however, I kept looking at my iPhone where my notes were. And so I guess that's just a habit of mine, so I'll probably continue that to 2017. But I had a lot of fun doing the video, too. It was, largely unscripted. Mm-hmm. We had a structure, a framework. I talked a lot about this telehealth evangelist, Nick Atkins, who gave me the pink socks, and also about Joanne Jenkins, who's not a health IT person per se, but she's executive director of or CEO of AARP. Mm-hmm. And I saw her speak at the Connected Health Conference in Boston, and she gave a great speech. And what I took out of it was she really challenged the vendors to come up with more useful apps and technologies for older Americans. Mm-hmm. And her motto is disrupt aging, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, using technology to disrupt aging. So let's move on to some more recent stories, videos, or podcasts you've worked on, Kristen. Like, what are a couple of your favorites?
Yeah, I think one of my favorites that I got published recently was I did a video with Joshua Newman, Chief Medical Officer of Salesforce. I flew out to California to go to Dreamforce, and this video is kind of one of the pieces of content that I got out of that. With him, I just talked about CRM and healthcare. We discussed how hospitals are focusing on the lifetime value of customers, or in other words, patients. And CRM is something that they can use as a tool to build relationships, which is, really important in healthcare, especially that patient-provider relationship. Newman, who's an MD himself, said that when he was going through training and everything, he was encouraged to write down just like little facts about his patients kind of in the margins of, his charts or whatever it was. But now that we have CRM, you don't need to do that anymore. That tool does it for you. So that was an interesting conversation. And then I think another favorite of mine that recently came out was my discussion with Doug Dietzman. He's executive director of Great Lakes Health Connect. And he actually got in contact with me because he read an article I wrote about HIE's data blocking. And he was kind of very surprised that this was going on and that other experts were kind of saying that this was happening. And he kind of argued the other way, saying that, it's more than likely that HIEs probably aren't data blocking, and here's why. And his reasons were, HIEs are HIPAA business associates, so they are being contracted by the members of the HIE, which are mostly hospitals and other healthcare organizations, and they can only do with their data what that healthcare organization asks them to do. So therefore, they can't really data block.
I really tend to agree with his argument.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, why would HIEs be doing data blocking? Their job is to exchange data.
Right,
and
right.
It can be quite cumbersome at times.
Right, right, yeah.
But I really kind of, I think that's cool that he got in touch with you and then you did a story about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think data blocking among HIEs is probably unlikely, but in terms of, like, vendors or something not sharing data with HIEs, that might be
exactly, and even providers holding onto their right. data. Yeah, I buy that.
And that's what he said. He was like, you know, if data is not being shared, it's not because of HIEs. It's, you know, because of certain relationship issues or technological issues or others.
So true. And one thing I think we should keep our eye on over the next couple of years is, will HIEs continue as a necessary model for health data exchange, or will they become sort of more outmoded by APIs and stuff like that?
Right, right, exactly.
I tend to think they'll continue to exist, but maybe, you know, maybe in a less important, you know, less integral format.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Well, what about you, Sean? I mean, you've been working on some things recently. Anything
well, I did. Over the holidays, the hardworking Search Health IT staff were each assigned a day to be on. Right. And so I woke up on Tuesday morning during the holiday break on my day on, and I saw, oh my God, the Joint Commission has released its guidelines on secure texting, which everybody had been waiting for.
Right.
So I had actually done a couple of pre-interviews because we had expected the Joint Commission, which is now pretty much an arm of CMS, to come out with these new guidelines on secure texting of health data. And they had basically reversed a few months ago, their longstanding opposition to that.
Mm-hmm.
But now they came up with a new thing, which was actually 3 months overdue. They were supposed to do this in September, saying that secure texting is great, but you can't do computerized physician order entry on secure texting.
Oh.
So they banned CPOE, which left much of the health IT world extremely puzzled. Like, why would you do this? I mean, what's wrong with using secure texting, not insecure texting,
yeah,
or unsecured texting, but secure to what's wrong with using that for CPOE? And they said, well, you can't do it. So I called an expert from Vocera, which is a vendor that does a lot of secure texting. There are many vendors that do that,
mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, this is puzzling, but it's not a huge setback because there's ways around that. You can put a physician order entry through a third party piece of software and then enter it into the EHR and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's a workaround. But and then I quoted from the blog of David Harlow, who's a HIPAA privacy lawyer in the mm-hmm. Boston area, and he was pretty puzzled in his blog about why the Joint Commission would do this. So.
Mm.
That was kind of a news story. And then before the break, I worked on two videos from the Connected Health Conference in Boston in the fall about this company, Twine Health.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of learned a lot in the process about care coordination,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be one of my predictions. I predict that will be one of my predictions. I get it. It's a lot about how it's related to CRM, but not really CRM, but mm-hmm. Twine Health is a platform, app-based platform, web-based platform for physicians, care managers, patients, family members, all to be together
mm-hmm.
at the same time in real time, working on certain goals and activities and outcomes for chronic conditions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really, really cool system. And I did a video with the user from the Carolinas Health System, a doctor who runs the program down there, not a CIO, but he's very tech savvy. And then with the also with the CEO of Twine Health, who is MD, and John Moore, and he was an ophthalmologist, and then he decided to go to MIT to get his PhD
mm-hmm.
in informatics and health IT stuff.
Wow.
And then he spent like 6 years at MIT developing this system.
Wow.
And it's really a highly regarded system. Brian Eastwood, who's an analyst for Chilmark Research, mentioned Twine Health among one of the top care coordination platforms. There's a lot of people doing this now, but it's really pretty cool. So I did predict that we would talk about predictions. So let's move on.
And you were right.
Thank you. Yeah, a little crystal ball there. So let's move on to the health IT predictions for 2017. Kristen, you've got a couple of really good ones. Let's hear them.
Yeah, so basically my predictions are based off of my conversation with Dan Hausman, CTO of Converge Health by Deloitte. I wrote a piece based off of my discussion with him kind of about predictions or kind of what to expect, not only within 2017, but kind of in the future. And one thing that I thought was really interesting that he said was that AI, which kind of includes machine learning and RPA, robotic process automation, that's really going to take off in 2017 and in the future. You know, right now it's kind of focused, especially RPA is focused on, you know, like automating simple tasks, kind of like copy paste file information. But he used Google as an example for how this is going to evolve. He said that they're switching from rules-based machine learning systems to deep learning, and that means that there'll be new capabilities that can recognize information inside of unstructured content. Now, that applied within healthcare is really valuable. I mean, there's a lot of unstructured content in healthcare. And he kind of gave the example that, you know, with this capability of this technology, that you might not need a pathologist to extract value or meaning out of images, for example. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Another thing that we talked about was blockchain. You know, I saw one study that said that that 2017 is the year that blockchain will move from, you know, theory to practice. But Hausman kind of thinks that it's not really going to be, that like a lot of people are going to be testing out blockchain. There's going to be pilots. Companies will probably be making claims that, oh, our blockchain technology is blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they actually won't have too many customers or users.
Yeah, so it's much too soon. But it is still trendy in 2017.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he was saying that, you know, 2017 isn't going to be the year. Not saying that it's blockchain is never going to actually be realized.
No, in fact, he just wrote a blog with Eric Topol and another writer from the New York Times.
Right.
Eric Topol's probably one of Health IT's top three visionaries.
Yeah.
And he says blockchain is the ideal platform for personal health record, for the longitudinal health record, much sought after, and patients controlling and owning their health data as a civil right. And indeed, that's been proposed as a central use for blockchain in healthcare.
Yeah, definitely. So I think, you know, Hausman was just saying that, you know, it's not ever not going to ever be. It's just that 2017 isn't going to be the year where blockchain is kind of fully realized.
I'll say, so what about our new president-elect?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that too, because I spoke with some experts about, you know, how will the Trump administration affect health IT. And it seems like, and I think you'll be mentioning this too, but it seems like in terms of funding, that's where we're kind of focused. So, for example, you know, there may not be enough funding to continue sustaining initiatives like Cancer Moonshot or the Precision Medicine Initiative, which President Barack Obama kind of launched, and also, you know, kind of sustaining the Brain Initiative. And that's something that uses, you know, innovative technologies to further understanding of the brain. So we'll have to see what happens with the funding of these initiatives. And
one thing I will say about that, though, yes, I agree, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, that soon-to-be President Trump could look to cut budgets of some of those efforts. But one of his top advisors, a former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, is a huge supporter of the National Institutes of Health, NIH. And I'm not sure how many of the initiatives you mentioned are tied in with NIH, but I think Trump might be unlikely to cut funding for the NIH, which does a lot of, that's more, you know, medical research as opposed to strictly tech research.
Yeah.
I think you'll still see, paradoxically, perhaps, a lot of still funding for medical research, which some might say really goes to the pharmaceutical companies. There might be a bright side. And the other thing is it's still all speculation, as we're doing now. Nobody knows what Trump is going to do. Even Trump doesn't know what he's going to do.
Totally.
Because he is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So
too early to tell. We'll see what happens.
As far as my prediction, though, I also think that I think there's a distinct possibility that soon-to-be President Donald Trump will cut the ONC budget. It's a pretty obscure agency. And one big question a lot of people are thinking about is one of the things ONC does is it certifies through these testing bodies, these authorized testing bodies, it certifies products from vendors that are on the market. You know, it certifies, it's called Certified Health IT, and you have to use a government certified system to get a reimbursement from Medicare. Mm-hmm. You have to use that if you're one of these certified systems. So they contract with three, you know, internationally known, you know, lab organizations that test these things. We're talking about EHR, mostly EHR systems, but also analytics and other systems. And so that's regulatory. That's a regulatory function. And Trump, it was distinctly anti-regulatory. Mm-hmm. And so I think if that happens, not only I think the whole meaningful use program, which is still alive in terms of certifying health IT, will be completely dead, completely killed off, and it'll raise a problem for MACRA as well, because you have to use certified health IT products or systems in MACRA.
Yeah.
So if they do that, there's gonna if they either slash or cut completely the certification program, it's going to cause chaos in health IT.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big question, but it could be more likely you'll just see some budget cuts at ONC, and they'll be able to do a few fewer of their initiatives, like when they give out micro grants and stuff like that. My other prediction, as I alluded to it before, is that care coordination software systems will take off in a big way. It seems to me that all the big providers are acquiring these. They're also getting to CRM, and this is kind of related, and that is that, you know, you coordinate the care of a patient, not just from the primary care physician, but through the patient's release to a rehab facility or to home. Mm-hmm. And we have these new people called, you know, care managers, who is a nurse or other clinician, and there's a lot of software that is going to coordinate all this. And they may end up in slowly killing off these old patient portals that came with EHRs. Now, you got to remember, EHR started coming in a big way in like 2009. So we're now 7 years down the road from there. Mm-hmm. And these static patient portals, and Brian Eastwood, the analyst from Chilmark Research, just wrote a whole report about this that I interviewed him about, haven't written about it yet. But he predicted the slow death of patient portals because they're such a static instrument. You know, it's like you have to log in. You can get parts of your patient record in there. Mm-hmm. It's not a truly dynamic app-based system that contains your entire personal health record. Mm-hmm. So that is my prediction, that you're going to see a lot of growth in that sector of health IT software.
Well, we're definitely in for an interesting year.
We are, indeed. And so thanks, everybody, for listening. Goodbye, and tune in to Search Health ID for Hit Squad podcasts and other interesting content.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.